Watch Talk Heathen live Sundays at 1 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTTH and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callTH.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Truth Wanted. I am your host tonight, Objectively Dan, and this is the live call-in show that happens every single week, Fridays at 7 p.m. Central Time, where we talk to people about what you believe and why. And every single week, I always have a special guest. This week is no different. It's Calvin Smith, everybody. Calvin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Dan, for having me on.
Thank you, Calvin, for being on. And just to remind folks, this is a live call-in show, so if you want to talk to us, the number is there on screen. It's 512-991-9242, or you can visit tiny.cc/callTW to come talk to us. We'd love to talk to you. And I'm excited about our guest tonight, folks, because Calvin, what I want to do today, Calvin, is we need to go back to this show's roots. Okay. We need to go back to the beginning. Okay. This show, you know, we talk a lot about religion and stuff, and that's cool. That's part of it. But we also talk about wacky shit. Like, that's like part of the reason why this show exists. Okay. And you know what, Calvin? We haven't talked enough about wacky shit lately. It's been a lot of downer stuff lately. Like, and also religion stuff lately, which is fine. Again, I don't mind talking about it, but I want to talk about wacky shit again, dude. Like, that's what I'm here for. So, Calvin, you're going to bring us the wacky stuff tonight, right, Calvin?
Heck yeah, man. Let's go for the wacky stuff. If you got some wacky shit that you want to talk about, you know, I'm all about the aliens and the ancient lost high technology and conspiracies. Yeah. So, man, I'm ready for it.
So, Calvin, the reason why you're here tonight is you have a podcast in which you talk to people about their beliefs, much like this show, but you interview folks who are ancient alien believers, Bigfoot hunters, or maybe you shouldn't call them hunters, as I found out. Apparently that's offensive for some people and others. And because, Calvin, you used to be kind of a believer in a lot of this yourself. Is that right?
That's true. Yeah. I grew up really, you know, my family was never like super religious growing up, but it was always kind of on the back burner, like, hey, God's watching. Couple family members are really devout, but you know, my parents for the most part were pretty loose on it. And so basically me and my sisters used to be really into aliens growing up. So my sister would read to me these alien books about different alien species and stuff that people would supposedly see flying around in UFOs and stuff and abducting them and seeing in their sleep. I grew up believing in a lot of that. And my mom has a lot of Native American and, you know, her side of the family. So a lot of superstitions from that root of the woods. And a lot of that was pretty indoctrinated into me a lot more than any religion necessarily was. But if someone would have asked me what I, you know, thought of myself as, I would have said that I was a Christian, just a non-denominational Christian if someone asked me. But all in all, I was more so kind of don't know, don't care type of mentality. And as I started getting into these conspiracies, I started writing articles about alien species and alien abduction stories. And it got to the point to where I was thinking Hillary Clinton is a reptile. You know, Justin Bieber is also a reptile and running the government. There are dinosaurs in the Amazon. Reptilians started Hurricane Katrina. You know, all of
started Hurricane. That's a new one for me.
That's a crazy one, man. Don't ask me why I thought this. I can kind of go into it, but all in all, it boils down to I don't fucking know what I was thinking or talking.
Was it like David Icke? Was it like, is there specific sources that were?
I mean, David Icke was you know, definitely part of that. David Icke and his books. And really, it came down to I was listening to the wrong type of content. I was listening to a lot of, you know, conspiracy-esque podcasts and YouTube channels, and people were saying that during Hurricane Katrina, they were encountering reptiles, you know, that were walking around, forcing people into the underground and all this crazy, wacky shit. And I don't know why I believed it, but I did. And then I started looking more into these conspiracy theories, and a lot of them started like leading towards the Bible. Like I started looking at the Dead Sea Scrolls, and I don't know if you're familiar with John Allegro, but John Allegro is a guy who basically thinks that Jesus was a mushroom and that, you know, it's psilocybin mushroom. Yeah. He basically is assuming that God, quote unquote, is DMT. You know, that is your doorway to God is through DMT. And it was kind of all coming back to the Bible. So I said, okay, I'm kind of not sure what I believe anyways. I'm going to read the Bible and see what's going on and just see what happens. By the end of it, I was atheist. I read the King James Bible. I did skip over a couple parts of it. Yeah. But I did my best to read it. And, you know, either way, by the end of it, I was like, whether this God is real or not, I'm just not a fan of what he has to say. And atheism, you know, kind of fell shortly after that. And that kind of, I figured out if I was using that skepticism on my religious belief, I need to apply that same skepticism to all these other conspiracy beliefs that I also believe. I need to not pick and choose what I want to believe. So I applied that skepticism, started looking into these things way more deeply and looking at more reliable sources rather than the Gaia Network and, you know, Ancient Aliens. I was looking at actual studies and research. And it brought me out of all these weird conspiracies that I believed in. And even today, I'm still dropping a lot of them. But
When you were active in this belief, how old were you when you were like posting online?
And about the time that I started posting this crazy shit online, I was probably about 20, 21 years old. I turned 27 this year. So, and it wasn't until about 3-4 years ago that I started being more vocal about my skepticism and, you know, atheism and such.
So about like 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. it kind of took you to like deconstruct these ideas.
It really did.
So it sounded like YouTube and just internet media was a big part in your sort of epistemology there, where you got a lot of this from, like maybe some books in there, but like, was it a lot of just wanting to figure out the truth for yourself and then realizing that this actually doesn't make sense? Or was it just more of a gradual, like hearing other people talk about it kind of dissuaded you from it? I mean, I get reading the Bible because I like when it comes to religious stuff, that's a pretty common thing. People will say, well, I read the Bible and now this doesn't actually make any sense. Right.
Right.
But like, there's no central text for like reptilians, for example, unless you're talking about like David Icke. Right.
Yeah.
There's no central text for, you know, a lot of these other kinds of beliefs. So like, I'm kind of curious what that process is like, because it's very different for a lot of people.
It more so was, so I was more just looking at the wrong sources. I was turning to YouTube videos and random people on the internet rather than experts and people a lot smarter than I am and with a lot higher of, you know, educations than I do in this stuff, and actually looking at what they were saying rather than just these people with literal theories and no actual evidence. They just were conspiring. And that was my thing, is that I was listening to the wrong sources. I wasn't looking at the actual evidence. I thought this stuff was interesting. I thought, whoa, reptiles starting Hurricane Katrina, that's crazy. I want to believe that. You know, I want that to be true. And so I was looking at sources to basically validify myself. So or validate myself. So
you kind of had this belief and you were looking for confirmation.
Right. Right. So it really, after I read the Bible and I was like, what the hell was that? I was like, okay, I need to take a step back. Let's look at all this from the big picture here. Let's just start from scratch and really get into it. And it didn't take long for me to work myself out of quite a few of them. But even as recently as a couple months ago, I've even been working myself out of conspiracy theories. So that stuff really ingrains in there. It's crazy.
What are some of the more recent things? I'm curious if you're open to talking about.
Yeah. The big thing nowadays is ancient lost high technology. That is a very big subject nowadays. People like Graham Hancock. I'm sure you've heard of Graham Hancock.
Yes.
And Randall Carlson.
Yes.
And Bright Insight on YouTube. And Johanna James, who I had on my podcast. And, you know, just people that essentially believe that there was an ancient lost civilization upwards of 10 to 12,000 years ago that had an ancient lost high technology that we have yet to discover. And that's how they built all these pyramids and Göbekli Tepe in Turkey and Machu Picchu. All of these different sites were built using an ancient technology that we do not know what it is yet.
Mm-hmm. And now these, yeah. Oh, just to I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's no, just funny good. How these YouTubers, the ones you specifically mentioned, will talk about it. Because from what I've seen of it, it's not them talking to experts. It's not them consulting academic sources. It's them literally looking up pictures on Google and saying like, hey, look at this. Look at this rock formation that's in the ocean that looks kind of flat. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
that can't be natural. Like that's like the extent of which these videos go into, right? Like tell me I'm wrong, but
So like deductive reasoning, you know, they're saying, okay, you know, it's not this, therefore it has to be this,
right?
It's not good epistemology, frankly. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I started talking to these people on my podcast, I started having people like, you know, Dr. Greg Little, who believes that Atlanteans came to America 1 million years ago and that they became essentially the first Mormons and populated
Mean the Native Americans, but like that's a deep cut for those who aren't.
Well,
right.
The thing is that he believes that the Atlanteans were white skin is a thing.
Oh,
that
okay.
They were white
shit.
Skin with red hair. Well, that's the thing.
That's okay. Cause that's different. So like there's Mormon deep cut is that Native Americans or first peoples in North America came from submarines and are actually Jewish. Right. I thought that's what you're talking about, but you're saying
he white people. Has like this whole, like alternative history to North America and, you know, Mormonism. It is very odd speaking to him on the podcast. I had him twice on mine and, you know, talking to him and a guy who is an actual Egyptologist who lives on the Giza Plateau. And, you know, he thinks that basically the Nephilim built the pyramids.
Yes. You were telling me this earlier. And he's a PhD in Egyptology who believes the Nephilim of the Bible, the ancient giants described in the Bible, built the pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a rad take. Yep. You go to school for like 8 years and you're like, yeah, man, it was fucking giants.
I know. And it's crazy because like he is really smart. Like he is super smart. He knows a lot, but like, goddamn, he is
so awesome. I hope I go to school and I hope I can become a doctor just so I can say some radical stuff.
Now, to be fair, he does also have his degree in theology. We didn't get very much into that, but he does have a degree in theology. As far as where that's from and, you know, what all that entails, I don't know, because I was too caught aback by everything else at the time to even dive into that. But
this was a story you were telling me before we started the show. And you said that he recently found an alpha and omega symbol. Or what he interprets to be an alpha and omega symbol in one of the pyramids.
Yeah. So he has special access inside the pyramids, and that without a doubt he has special access to parts that other people don't have access to. It's really cool. He posts a lot of interesting things on his Instagram about it. That's mostly how I found him, and you know why I wanted him on. And he shows me this picture on my podcast of an alpha omega symbol. They're like overlapping inside a private part of the Menkaure pyramid that is private. No, the public cannot get to that part of the pyramid. And he was kind of trying to attribute that to Enoch, to the Nephilim putting it there. I'm not sure what he was trying to connect there. He just kind of was saying, here it is, you know, it's okay. What now?
That's so weird, man. We were talking about this too, but I feel like, especially in very specific historical fields like Egyptology, like your average number of wackadoos per academic is probably higher per capita than it is in like other academic fields. Like I have to believe that's true in my heart. I have no way of backing that up, but that's my personal truth and I'm going to live that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And let's talk about this too. Because I want to talk about your story more too. And like how you're doing this show now and like what inspired you to do it. But there's one other thing that you were telling me about, which was fantastic, which was about Bigfoot. And you said this guy wrote a book, right? Wrote a book saying Bigfoot traveled through time. Is a time travel.
Yeah. Yeah. He wrote a book.
How does that work, Calvin? What do you mean Bigfoot's a time traveler?
Don't ask me how it works. I don't know how it works. I don't know. His name is Ronald Moorhead, and he wrote a book called The Quantum Bigfoot. And literally, I typed into Google.
The Quantum Bigfoot, dude.
The cover of it is a Bigfoot with like an atomic, like atomic stuff going around. It's hilarious. So I basically typed into Google time traveling Bigfoot, and he was the first result. So, and
so like the quantum Bigfoot's going to be my new gamer tag. That's such a good name. Please don't steal that. Yeah. If you don't get that idea, that's my idea. Don't take that, listeners at home. But anyway, someone's continue, please.
It. Someone already has it right now. I need
to know, like, because Bigfoot's already a stretch. Like, why is time travel necessary?
Because the reason why we can't see Bigfoot, Dan, is because he time travels right before you look at him. Duh. That's what happens.
That's it. That's all he's got. That's
pretty much it. It just time travels before he gets to see, or he thinks that it travels through different dimensions too. He believes that it can literally become invisible and, you know, visible at will.
So does he think this because is there like technology that was left behind after Bigfoot encounters or something?
No.
Or is it just, it's just an idea. He's just kind of spitballing on that one.
Yep, pretty much.
That's awesome. That's pretty much it.
He also claims that if you hit some sticks if you grab a stick and you hit it on a tree in the woods, then you will be guaranteed to get a response from a Bigfoot. Guaranteed. Dude, I've tried this and it did not work. So
when I was younger, I used to be sad about the fact that, I'll never be able to read all the books in the world in my lifetime. You know, there's probably so many really good books out there. And now as I get older, I'm like, man, there's so much garbage out there that I'm probably just fine. You know what I mean? Like, I'll get around to what I need to read, but I don't think I need to spend hours of my life on fucking quantum Bigfoot. But I don't know. Yeah. That's just my take. Maybe you folks at home are more interested in the quantum Bigfoot, which I guess there's a book on that. So you can check that out. So we want to get to some callers. We have some pretty open lines right now. So just want to remind you guys, this is a call-in show. It doesn't have to be about, you know, the wacky, as I like to call it. It can be about, you know, the typical stuff that we usually talk about on here, whether you are a believer or not a believer. We want to talk to you. So again, phone number is 512-991-9242, or you can visit tiny.cc/callTW, and we would love to talk to you. So, but Calvin, going back to you.
Yeah.
You were a believer in this for a long time. I mean, I'd say writing articles about it means that you're at least dedicated to the craft. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because like you can go to Walmart and like ask somebody about it, and they might have some like out there beliefs, but they're not going to blog about it. You know what I mean? So you're blogging about it, so that's pretty cool. And then
which are still available too on my actual Facebook page.
Oh shoot,
you can actually still go back and read them. I left them available.
Awesome. That is awesome. So and now you're kind of, you flipped the script. You decided to start this podcast. Was it just because you wanted to kind of figure out the truth for yourself by talking to people? Like, what was the impetus for that?
Yeah, well, really, I started the podcast because I essentially wanted to make it like a debunking type of podcast. I wanted to debunk all of these, you know, alien encounters and alien sightings and stuff. So like my first episode was about Stardust Ranch, and about how a guy supposedly kills aliens on his ranch or whatever with a samurai sword and a machine gun or something.
Wait, and, I'm sorry. Missed that one. Wait, samurai sword?
Yeah, I'm 100% serious. A guy named John Edmonds, he actually passed away this year, but he owned Stardust Ranch, and he believed that he slayed 13 gray aliens with a samurai sword and a machine gun. And he believes that there are interdimensional portals behind his house, and that UFOs visit daily, and that skinwalkers walk around, and, you know, a lot of things. Needless to say, he didn't want to come on the show because I emailed him. He didn't want to come on. Okay. But yeah, I kind of made the show as like a debunking type of show. And then as I started to deconstruct my beliefs a little bit more, I just kind of wanted to know why people were believing these things. You know, what the heck are you reading that I'm not, that is keeping you in this belief? Because I'm learning more about this, and it's not looking good for these beliefs. So
yeah,
then I kind of flipped the script and decided to make it more of a street epistemology type of show. So I started looking into a lot of street epistemology, a lot of Anthony Magnabosco and Reed Nicewander. And I actually had Anthony Magnabosco on, and we had a conversation about street epistemology and why people believe things, which was really interesting. Mm-hmm. So I kind of started interviewing these people with these beliefs. I had an ex-Jehovah's Witness on. I had someone who believes in ghosts, and me and my wife got psychic readings. And, you know, I actually got to interview my reader while she was reading me, which was interesting. And I wanted to know why these people were believing these things. And I wanted to know as many true things, as few false things as possible. So,
yeah.
You know, how can I do that if I don't talk to these people from the other side? So had a lot of these people on, especially the ancient laws, high technology people. And the more I talked to them, the more I realized how crazy I sounded. And so I was like, wow, this isn't looking too hot for these ancient lost technology beliefs, because all these people that I look up to are frankly fucking crazy. So I just kind of worked myself out of that. And I essentially, we can put it this way, nobody has really been able to convince me of their beliefs so far since they've been on their on my show.
Really? You're telling me you don't believe in the guy that killed the aliens with machine gun and a samurai sword? Because I believe it right now. And I haven't even heard any more details about it. I'm just accepting that face value.
Good on you, bud. You do that. Yeah, but I didn't see a reason to believe in these things anymore as I was talking to these people. So I kind of dropped these beliefs. And, you know, a couple people I did have on that I knew weren't really going to convince me. Like, I had two flat earthers on. I'm sorry, but I just don't think you're going to be able to convince me that the earth is flat, to be completely honest.
Sure.
I just feel like there's way too much evidence on the contrary. But but it was an interesting conversation, to say the least. But
you know, Calvin, it's interesting that, I mean, you and I both share a desire where I want to talk to people who believe this stuff too, right? It's like, I want to know as many true things as possible and not believe as many false things as possible. But I'm also just curious about just how the human person gets to that point, even if I don't get there myself.
Right.
I also just think it's like, it's almost a civic duty for me. I really do feel like that's what's really important, because when I was a believer, I didn't realize how weird my beliefs really sounded until somebody really interviewed me and I got to talk my beliefs out loud and say that to people. And a lot of people just don't have those conversations, either because they don't have the tools to have a conversation like that, or nobody's bothered to ask. Or it's uncomfortable too. Like, we don't like right now we're using that word crazy a lot, right? And like, we are, you know, I use that colloquially. I don't actually think that people who believe in these things are mentally ill necessarily, but even just saying that can dissuade people from wanting to talk about it. But I'm also human, and I'm just like, but this is actually what I think about it, though. It's like, I do think it's crazy, but I also recognize crazy is relative too, because if I once believed that a man rose from the dead in Israel like 2,000 years ago and saved me from my sins, and that's, to a lot of people, that's not crazy. Like, that's just normal.
That so
it's like, crazy is kind of relative, you know? So I don't know. I feel it's important. Like, obviously, you know, there's not like flat earth nationalists that are changing policy in our country right now, right? But like, I saw what happened during the January 6th, you know, riots and stuff like that. The reason why you see these events that are happening right now is because of conspiracies, because of these unchecked beliefs. And this other side of this stuff, this kind of stuff that's beyond kind of Western religion, I think is just as important to talk about, in my opinion. I mean, like, by the way, Q just posted again last week. Although, so I might start talking about Q people again. About 2 weeks ago in Dallas, they had another. So last year, some of you guys may remember this, but there was a bunch of Q people that thought that JFK Jr. was going to come back. So a couple hundred people were out by the grassy knoll where JFK was shot, and we're waiting for the return of JFK Jr. Like people waiting on the return of Jesus or something. Like, they were literally out there, and they just did it again like 2 weeks ago. I don't think it was as many people this time, but like, that's a movement. Like, that's a thing you can point to and like look at the irreparable harm that's happening to people. So it's like, I don't feel like we should just put these people, you know, out of the way and just say, oh, well, they're crazy, we just shouldn't worry about it. Because it's like, obviously it's affecting hundreds and thousands, if not millions, of people's beliefs for all kinds of things. I mean, look how many people don't believe that the 2020 election was real. You know, like, that's in the millions easily. And that's just related to a lot of these other kind of grander narratives that are going on. So anyway, I'm glad that you're talking about it, Calvin. That's all I want to say about that. It is fascinating.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that I just like talking to people, really.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to defeat that stigma of talking about these things, you know? So I'm starting to talk to a lot more religious people. And like, I had a pastor on, you know, we talked about why you know, he believes what he believes, which is a really interesting and fruitful conversation. You know, that's the whole thing with my podcast is I'm not there to debate. I don't want to debate anybody on my show. I'm not there to do that. You know, I want to have a legitimate, cordial conversation about these types of things.
Sure.
There's only one instance where I got a little bit heated with the first flat earther because she was being a little rude. But other than that,
flat earthers aren't the nicest people.
You know, I've come to realize that.
I'm willing to lay my flag down on that. You know, flat earthers, if you want to call in and talk to us and prove you're wrong, I don't know. But not my conversations with flat earth people haven't been the nicest. I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, my first conversation was interesting. Second conversation was just as interesting, but a little bit of a different pace. But it was a little bit better of a conversation, more of a formal conversation, but still some not okayness in there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we are at a little bit over time now, where we should be talking to some callers, Calvin. So I think we should do that now. Yeah. But before we talk to some callers, I need to thank the patron of the week, because every single week I always give a shout out to somebody who donates on tiny.cc/patreontw. That's the Patreon account for Truth Wanted. The money that goes there helps support this show and helps support the ACA in general. So thank you to everybody that donates. Just want to give a shout out to everyone who, you know, donates every week or every month, wherever your plan is at. I just really appreciate it. It just shows that you support this mission and you believe in what this show is doing. So thank you so much to everyone. But we always give a special shout out every week to one patron. And this week's patron of the week is going to be Fortuna X Machina. Thank you, Fortuna X Machina, for donating on the Patreon. And thank you to everybody who donates. You guys rock. Okay, going back to the calls here. Calvin, you ready to talk to some folks?
Let's go.
Okay, cool. We got somebody waiting here. We got John from Texas, who is calling in to Truth Wanted. John, you're live on the show. What's up?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Doing okay. How about yourself, John?
I'm doing well, thank you. So today I'm just calling up. I wanted to put a scenario to you guys and see how you would answer.
Okay. The
scenario itself is a delay. So the scenario basically is this. Let's just say, for example, you're in a park and I'm in a park and we meet up and I say to you that I'm an agnostic. I'm 50-50 between two propositions. The proposition God exists and its negation that God does not exist. And I'm 50-50. I don't feel I have any reason to believe one is more likely true than the other, or I've heard reasons either way and I feel they cancel themselves out. But either case, I'm 50-50 between those two propositions. And I ask you, gentlemen, are you 50-50 or do you lean one way more than the other, as one proposition being more likely true than the other? And what reason would you give to justify leaning one way more than the other?
Okay. I'm assuming, John, you're talking about the God of Christianity, like the God of the Bible. Like, just want to clarify that first.
Well, shall I just give a couple of definitions of God, just so I clarify the meaning?
I mean, I guess so. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would define it this way. So I'll give two definitions and you can either accept both of them, because I accept both of them, or just accept one of them, or we'll work from there. So my first definition would be that when I say the proposition God exists, what I'm saying is ultimate reality is personal in nature instead of being impersonal. So personal in nature, I don't mean relational. I mean like the fundamental forces of ultimate reality are aware and intentional. Whereas the proposition God does not exist, with ultimate reality is impersonal in nature. So its fundamental forces of reality would be unaware, unguided, unintended. And so, and the second definition maybe you want to go with God would just be a being that didn't come into existence, which is the ultimate cause for all things that did come into existence. Now, I would accept both of them, but you could accept one or the other. So I would say do you lean towards one of those propositions being more likely true than the other, or would you say you're 50-50? But if you do lean more towards one being true, what reason do you think you have to justify that?
Well, I'll start with this and then I'll give my answer. Then I want to hear Calvin's answer, I think, is how we'll do it. So if there is a God, I don't think that he's very personal in nature, right? Like there just doesn't seem to be any particular reason to believe that there is a God that personally interacts with human beings. I think every person that's ever talked about experience with God is pretty much suspect, right? I don't think that there's very good reason for that. But let's say that it's a God that is maybe personal, maybe continues to work in the world but doesn't interact with human beings. Okay, well, again, I'd say that we don't have a lot of evidence for that. You know, like when you talk to people who study this stuff for a living, chemists, astronomers, people who are looking at anything that involves deep time, even, it seems that all the processes that we've come to so far, we further and further are able to explain through naturalism. Are we able to explain everything so far? No, not yet. But like, there doesn't need to be an intervention from a supernatural force to really talk about most of the things that we have observed in the universe. And when I think of a God, I think of a God that interacts with my universe, interacts with me locally, interacts with the stuff that I see, with the trees and the birds and the people. And there doesn't seem to be any reason to go that route. So if there is a God, I would think that he had to be impersonal. You know, like there was a part of me that kind of leaned deist at one point, because I thought maybe that there is some sort of creator or being out there. But even then, I'm not even sure how I would define that, let alone what that means as far as their interaction with our universe. So I think that would be my response. But Calvin, you know, what would you say to this?
Yeah, so I guess I would agree with you, first of all, is that I don't think if there was any God out there, it either one doesn't want me to know that it exists, or two doesn't exist. And so far I see no evidence to, you know, of the latter, that it does exist. You know, everything that I see throughout the world is you know, natural. I don't see any reason to suppose that a God created anything that I see in the world today.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Okay. Could I interact with that? Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you. I would say, first of all, just say to clarify, when I use the word personal, I think you're using the term how I would use the term relational. So when I was saying personal, I just mean, because in philosophy, if you say being, it could a rock could be a being, a platonic object could be a being. It's just that when I say personal, I just mean it has the qualities of what we would think of like a human being. You know, I'm aware, I have intention and guidance. You're thinking more how I would think relational, which is he wants to have a relationship with people. But anyway, you guys, this is what I basically heard. There's no evidence to believe the proposition God exists, but that's not evidence to believe the proposition that he does not exist, unless... So you wouldn't have a justification to be more than 50-50 either way, unless your argument is the absence of evidence is leading to the evidence of absence, which is in some circumstances, that's a proper inference. There's three categories of inference you can have. I'm somebody who studies belief forming mechanisms a lot and works with computer science and very interested in AI and things. So, but the thing is, I would say this, like, we get into what that evidence is and if you think it leads to evidence of absence. But for example, you guys brought up that some people believe in the flat earth and you think it's silly. And I expect you would think that there's a lot of good reasons to believe in the spherical earth. Well, the funny thing is, atheism itself is an anomaly, pretty much an anomaly of time and history, an anomaly of a small amount of people in a certain part of the world. And most of the people believe in deity. And just like most of the people now believe the world is spherical. And to say there's not enough evidence, well, the vast majority of people must believe there's enough good reason because they believe it. So to say that God hasn't left enough evidence is to me a bit of a strange one if most of the world does believe in deity. But I would just press on this point. Are you guys saying that in this case, the absence of evidence is evidence of absence? That's why you're justified to believe the proposition God does not exist is more likely? Or are you not saying that?
So two to three things to respond here. First, when you clarify in your definition of personal, when you said that God, what you really mean isn't relational, what you're saying is it's something that has intention, basically has these human-like qualities. I would still argue and say that I don't believe there's enough evidence that there's a God that expresses human-like qualities. For the same reasons that I said before, there doesn't seem to be any particular reason to believe that there's a God with human-like qualities any more than there's a God with rabbit-like qualities or a God with any of these other qualities. I don't know if a God exists, what his personality would be like or what his intentions would be like, because it doesn't compute with me. I haven't even gotten to the God part yet. You know, moving on to your other points, I would say, yes, atheism as its modern understanding is a thing of its time. You know, it definitely has an epoch, right? It's definitely not the norm for most of human history. And it's not even the norm today. I mean, it's still just a pocket of the world that really comes to this conclusion. But I also don't understand why that's relevant, because like quantum physics also was also a pretty new thing, and most people didn't have an understanding of physics that involved quantum mechanics, but that doesn't discount the reality of like quantum mechanics. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. My belief isn't going to be on going to be based on popular consensus unless it involves academics. In which case, again, like just because, yeah, a lot of people believe in flat earth before or didn't believe in a spherical earth, they didn't have any, you know, their reasoning was suspect. They just didn't have the tools that we have now to come to the conclusion that the earth was spherical. And maybe we don't have the tools right now to come to the conclusion that there is a God that has created everything. Again, I would say, yeah, we don't have the tools to do that. So if I don't have the tools to do that, so then it's not good for me to just come to the conclusion, say, oh yeah, there must be a God. Because again, there isn't enough evidence to lead me there. I would also further point out that, yeah, a lot of people believe in a God, but not all of it's the Christian God. And certainly even within the Christian, you know, belief, there's different ideas about what God is. Is he a Trinity? Is he, you know, in space and time? Is he outside of space and time? I mean, Christians at different points of time have believed in all kinds of stuff, and none of that had to do with like observations of the outside world, at least most of it. It just had to do with, I don't know, what people believed at the time. So I don't know. I hope I'm answering your question. But yeah, I guess like the absence of evidence is kind of like the axiom that I'm accepting, I guess, at this point in time, because again, like, I don't know what tools we would even use to conclude that a God is there. And if there were something to get us there, then I couldn't comprehend that right now.
Yeah, I kind of look at it as...
I'll let Calvin respond here.
Yeah, I kind of look at it as the lack of evidence of water in my cup is evidence that there is no water in my cup. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in this case, I would say that the lack of evidence, you know, yes, I would agree with you. Kind of slipping at my wordage. But and then my next thing would be, is this God, how are you so sure that it is your God, you know, that you're talking about? How do you know that it's not the God of Hinduism or, you know, any other religion? How did you rule out all these other gods and, you know, come down that it has to be this one?
Yeah. Okay. I'll answer that. I just want to respond to a couple of, well, you said a few things. I won't take up too much time. But one of the things I will just say is, when you were talking about lack of evidence and you were saying about the quantum physics example and things like that, well, that's different, because I don't think anyone was believing the proposition against quantum physics. They just didn't believe in the proposition for it. But with this one, you're believing in the proposition against it. But the issue is, my reason for giving the evidence is just that your first premise was, if God existed, we would expect to see evidence of him because he would be relational. We don't. And I'm saying, well, if the vast majority of humanity did think they saw enough, then it's good evidence that he did leave that evidence. If the vast majority of humans' belief-forming and assessing mechanisms are concluded within them is deity, then that to me would be that there's a good evidence for relational God.
You ask most people if they've ever experienced God or the Christian God, I would say no. I think if you ask most of humanity if they've experienced Christian God, they wouldn't say that, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm talking about the general concept of deity. So I can't really see. Well, your example of the water in the cup, yeah, that's good, because that's you have evidence that there's no water in the cup, because you'd expect to see it if there was. So the absence of what you're seeing is the evidence. So I can't really see. I don't see this absence of evidence for God is number one justified, because most of the people believe there's enough reason to believe in God. And number two, it just doesn't seem powerful enough to get you off the 50-50 mark. Like, I think if you were to be intellectually honest, you'd have to say, well, I'm 50-50 on the belief God so far, what you presented. In terms of what why I believe in God, my God, I have many reasons. A lot of them are non-inferential, and a lot of them are inferential. I became a Christian when I was 17 because I had an experience of God, a spiritual experience of God. And then what happened, I had confirmation with things that, you know, I couldn't have brought about that happened along them. Now, I don't get these things all the time. I've had them, maybe I can count them on one hand. But they particularly happened to me at the beginning of when I became a Christian at 17, and I committed myself to following God after that. But that's how I would say one way. But there's lots of ways. That's a non-inferential way, because it was directly by experience. I didn't infer it. I didn't come and rationally, you know, have premises and conclude to it. It was just direct. So I would say I'm justified on that position. And then the absence of a defeater. In philosophy, there's two types of defeaters. You've got a rebutting defeater, or you've got undercutting defeater, and I don't think any of this. So you guys would hang your hat just on the fact that you think that the proposition God exists doesn't have any evidence, and that expected evidence doesn't have enough expected evidence, and or the amount of evidence or the type of evidence that you would expect. So it brings you to go to believe the proposition God does not exist. Is that basically it?
I mean, yeah, when you talk about, you know, when we propose that the earth is a sphere rather than flat, there are things we would expect if it's a sphere or spheroid, right? You're talking about a personal God, even as you've defined it here, like, again, not a relational God, just a personal God. I don't know what to expect with that. And I don't know that whatever those expectations are, if we've met that, again, like Christianity and even God experiences, I would not say, I think your definition is too broad in that most people believe in a God when you say that people have had experiences, because I don't think we can actually know that for sure. And also, we're talking about, at least for modern religious conceptions, those are only a few thousand years old. Humanity has been around for hundreds of thousands of years, if we're talking about Homo sapiens. And I don't know if all of those people have had God experiences the same way that we talk about our God experiences. And then even then, if we say that, oh, well, we're relying on these experiences to justify our beliefs, if we just relied on my personal experience, I would say the earth is flat, because I look out and I see, well, yeah, that's what I see. And everybody else around me, that's what they see too. So then we can come to that conclusion. But that's not a good way of coming to truth. Again, like, consensus on truth doesn't come from just a democracy of people's personal experiences. It has to come from other outside evidences, and again, proposal of models of what we can expect to see. And I think that religious experiences, particularly personal experiences that we talk about when we sing that we mean God or we meet the supernatural, can be explained by natural brain states that can be naturally induced, secularly induced, that have not really anything to do with anything supernatural. And I say this as someone who was a Christian and who also cited personal experience as my basis for knowing that God was real. You know, like, that was also my sort of epistemology there. But I came to the conclusion that, well, there's a lot of people that come to different conclusions based off of their personal experiences. And that's probably because there's culture that impacts your personal experiences. There's your surroundings, your background, all kinds of things that can influence how those experiences actually go. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we're saying anything true about reality when we have those experiences. So I know that's a lot, John, but that's what I would say to that.
It's not a lot. I don't really see if it justifies leaning towards a proposition God does not exist. So, for example, you said, I don't know what the criteria would be to fulfill it. Well, that would mean you qualify the belief God does not exist, because you need a criteria to fill it one way or the other. So you'd have to say 50-50. In terms of looking at the flat earth, you say our eyesight tells us.
I don't think it has to be 50-50. Can we talk about that? I don't know. Like, invisible. If you say invisible pink unicorns exist, and I would say I don't even know what it means to be an invisible pink unicorn. That doesn't mean, well, it's actually 50-50 then, because we don't know how to define that.
Well,
you know,
it is 50. Well, I would say it's not true, because it's a contradiction in terms, but in terms of, if you just said unicorns exist, for example, because basically it works like this. So I want to get back to some of your points, and I don't want to just spew on you all this stuff about philosophy and stuff, but just to start with this. So, you know, logicians use symbols in logic, and that's to negate bias. So, for example, based on the excluded law, logical law of excluded nil, you can only have a proposition and its negation. There's no in between. So you have the proposition P and its negation not P, right? And that's true of any set of propositions. So, so if I was to give you the proposition the stars in the universe are even a number, the only other possible one would be they're uneven a number, and that would be its proposition and its negation. There's no in between. Yeah. So what you do is, when you start with P or not P, you have to start 50-50 before any context is added to those propositions. You start with those symbols, P and not P. You have to start 50-50 on the fact that they're the only two logical possibilities. So then the reason to believe one of them more than the other is wholly dependent on the context of what you put into those propositions. So if you're going to believe whatever proposition I put into those logical symbols, it's going to have to be some reason. Now, let's say we have the proposition, again, stars are even a number and they're uneven a number. Well, people will say, I haven't got evidence either way, they're 50-50. But let's say we say, unicorns or not. People have a lot of background beliefs that they think make unicorns less likely to exist than exist. Things they'd expect to see, or they think, well, the only reason we have it is because someone invented it, and the likelihood of it just occurring by chance because if it was made of matter and the likelihood of that morphology occurring by chance is less likely than likely. So they have a load of inferences they have. So that's why they don't believe it, because of their background beliefs. But if I'm questioning them, I'm questioning what are those background beliefs, okay? So we can get to what it is they're inferring from. And in terms of the flat Earth, so I'll go back to flat Earth. You say, okay, it looks flat. Well, then you'd be justified to believe it's flat. Now, this because it's a non-inferential basic belief, you are justified to believe the things that your belief-forming mechanisms testify to you. Like, it looks like I'm in a room. I'm justified to believe that. In the absence of a defeater. Now, there's two types of defeaters. There's a undercutting defeater. That's where you have beliefs to believe that your belief-forming mechanisms are unreliable. For example, I keep feeling someone touching the back of my neck, let's say. I'm justified to believe that. But then I remember, I took medication. And one of the side effects is I get a feeling of someone touching the back of my neck. I have an undercutting defeater to that experience to tell me that experience is unreliable at forming true beliefs. And then you've got something called a rebutting defeater. And that's just where you have good reasons to believe the opposite proposition. And those reasons become more powerful than the reasons to believe your original proposition. And so they defeat them. And they're your two types of defeaters. There isn't any other type of defeater. So if you believe the earth was flat because your eyes told you, you're justified. But then you get good evidence for a rebutting defeater from other types of belief form mechanisms to tell you it's sphere. So you defeat it. That's simply what's happening there. In terms of what you said with my brain states, you said, well, I can induce the God feeling. Yeah, you can induce a lot of things with brain states. I can induce you to see hallucinations. It doesn't mean you don't trust your eyes. It doesn't mean that your experience of sight is an unreliable belief-forming mechanism. And the experience of God doesn't mean the experience of God is an unreliable belief-forming mechanism just because I can induce it. I could say a lot more. I don't want to go on. I know you've probably got other callers, but I just want to see if you have a solid reason to be more than 50-50 to say, okay, I've got good reason to...
You have proposed a very specific model of justified true beliefs and justified beliefs. And I will say that obviously in the field of epistemology, there is no consensus on what it means to have a justified true belief, or if even a justified true belief is even what we should be shooting for. I'm putting that out as a disclaimer. But following your propositions, right? Do we have a defeater for God? I mean, yes. Again, going back to it does depend on the specific God claims, right? Like, I thought it was interesting that you brought up multiple definitions of God, because that doesn't mean anything to me. I don't know why we would talk about multiple definitions. If God does exist, he has a singular definition. I don't know unless there's a concept of God that can contain multiple definitions, I suppose, but I don't think that's necessarily what you're proposing. Like, if we're talking about matter, there's a definition of matter. There's not going to be two things of matter that we're looking at. But, you know, besides all this, right, if you were to give me a specific God proposition, then yeah, I guess I could offer a defeater for it, like, or even like, you know, a defeater being like what would be an inference that as you have made as an example, that would go against that. Like somebody claiming that Jesus rose from the dead, for example. No, I have never seen any evidence of anybody rising from the dead besides like CPR patients, you know, or defibrillator patients. But that's not how Jesus was described as rising from the dead, right? He's literally dead. Yeah, he literally dead for 3 days and then rose back. Okay, well, I've never seen that happen. So like there, I don't have good reason to believe that other than what a person says that. So, okay, have I ever seen a God create anything or a God actually move in the universe? Have you ever actually seen matter come out of nowhere? Or have I seen something that could only be explained by miracles? No. And because we know that religious experiences can be induced from, again, completely secular means, having nothing to do with any divine rituals or any kind of things that would allege to the existence of a God, then religious experiences can't be good evidence for me. They can't be good ways to rely on something being true. It has to be more than that. That's why I do raise that criteria to be a bit higher. And some people would say, well, Dan, that's unfair. And I would say, no, it's not. Because if you're actually claiming that God created the universe or interacts with people in the universe, like we have to see something that's more than just, well, I felt something one time. That can't be all that we have. Because people feel a lot of things at a lot of different times. I mean, there's Q people that have said that they can hear the voices of Q and hear the voice like literally hear the voices of people that are talking to them stuff. And like, that's obviously not something that we want to base our lives around. We want to be able to base our lives around as much good evidence as possible. And I don't see enough for any particular God claim, especially that of the Christian God. I think you can also point to it being a specific cultural point in history is also a defeater against it in a way. It doesn't make sense that God would suddenly reveal himself again in Israel like 2000 years ago, as opposed to humanity, you know, being around for as long as it has. But again, that goes into theology and other stuff that I can't argue here. But man, we have talked about this call for a long time. I'm sorry, John.
Yeah, we've been on here for a minute.
I really, like, I do feel bad because I don't want to be the guy that talks and then doesn't let you talk. But like, we've been at it for a while. We got to move on with this one. But John, I do appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Yeah, and given your take on that, it was, you know, it was a lot, but Calvin, I actually appreciate that he fully explained what he meant.
Yeah.
Even if I completely disagreed with him, not completely, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like he was kind of tripping over himself a couple times. But I mean, he did a good job trying to explain what he was talking about. And so, I mean, we can get some more calls like that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. And I know I was talking a lot in that too, Calvin, but like, I think a thought out answer needs a thought out response.
Yeah. Right? No, I mean, you looked like you were handling it. So I was letting you have it because you looked like you had the wheel. So
I think this is like where I was at, and I don't project myself on John or anything, but it's like I thought personal experience was the best argument for God, and that's what I used for myself. But it just doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. Like it's not reliable, and it's not something that I think we should use when determining, especially a personal God.
Right. Although it may be convincing to you, that doesn't mean that it's convincing to literally anyone else.
Yeah, so. It's not. It's not available publicly. We need public evidence, I think.
Public evidence.
Seriously. We need evidence that's available to everyone, not just available to particular individuals. Like, I truly think that's how that works, right?
Yeah. So why are you revealing yourself to just me? Let's reveal ourselves to everybody. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, we've been talking for a long time. Let's go ahead and go to our promo real quick so you can see some of the other shows here at the ACA. Check it out.
The emphasis on consent, the validation of everybody.
Oh my gosh. I wish that regular, everyday sexual education was conducted in the way in which the kink community conducts themselves, because holy, there's so much to learn from that.
Distinct right stuff. I'm sorry, guys. It's we do not protect the individual liberties of every United States citizen when we should be, right? All this does, this isn't states' rights. This is just states being able to take away people's rights.
Catholic Church, you are the most disgusting institution that has ever been created by people. Go yourself with a cactus, pedazo de mierda. You deserve the worst. That's it.
I wish you wouldn't hold back, Teo.
Raising people from the dead. These are all historical things we cannot observe in our modern world. So that's not really...
What do you mean? I've raised people from the dead, Charles. Whenever I do CPR and get return of spontaneous circulation, I bring people back from the dead.
Even if it is not a crime under the laws of man, it is a crime under God.
Nobody gives a f*** about whether or not your God approves of abortion. Your God is a monstrous thug, and I couldn't give a f*** what he thinks even if he were real.
Big bully, you f***. Piece of shit, you little bitch. I'll kick your
Cry for me, David. Cry harder. Cry harder that your rights are being taken away. Oh, David, I'm so sorry. I'm a big bully. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. How dare I stand up for other people's rights and make arguments that you can't rebut? It's the end of the world, David.
And we're back on the show here. Joining me is Calvin Smith. Calvin, what do you think of the show so far?
It's awesome, man. I thought that first call was super interesting.
That's good, because we have only talked to one caller so far. Right? We had a long intro, and then we had a long first call.
Yeah. So.
That's just how it is today, but we're going to keep
going. Having a great time either way.
That's good. I'm glad you're having a good time. I hope the folks at home are having a good time as well. I think this is a good time to remind folks about different ways they can support this show. One of the ways they can do that is by looking at some of our merch. We do have some cool hoodies and cool shirts, and we have a new t-shirt of the month, ladies and gentlemen. You should definitely look at that. It's tiny.cc/merchaca. And our shirt of the month for Truth Wanted is this little postcard that says Austin on there. And it's really cool. It's got cool, like crazy different stuff in there. I won't give it all away. And also I can't describe it all because it's a lot. Well, go look at that t-shirt design. It's a lot. A little postcard that says, you know, hey, calling from Austin, you know, which of course where this show is based out of, Austin, Texas. So definitely check that out if you haven't already. It's just one of the great ways you can support the show. And now, Calvin,
yeah,
I think we should go to our next caller. We're talking to Ransom. Ransom, who's calling in from California.
Yeah, Dan, I think last...
Whoa.
Oh, holy shit. I think last time I talked to you, we were talking to somebody who isn't a god but plays one on TV.
Yeah. Well, Ransom, welcome to the show. I didn't even get to finish introducing you, and you were like just jumping right in. So that caught me off guard, I'm not going to lie. But hey, welcome back. What's going on, Ransom?
Well, I wanted to talk about the recently declassified videos of unidentified aerial phenomenon that we've seen from the Navy, from trusted sources that are showing things that are not only the military is saying that they are not making any of this stuff. They're like not saying that, no, we're not going to confirm or deny this. Like, nope, that's not us. And we find it highly unlikely that any other foreign technology has come this far.
Yeah. So just some context for people who aren't aware, in May, I believe it was, the Pentagon released declassified footage of UFO. I think they called it, I can't remember if they called it a UAP or a UFO.
They called it a UAP. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, they called it a UAP, but it's from the Pentagon. This isn't like some random YouTuber or some random, you know, guy on the internet with a video. It's like, no, this is from the Pentagon and we don't know what this is. So that's really cool and very fun. And of course, people in certain communities will take that and just go with it. But of course, the Pentagon isn't saying, oh, this is aliens. They're just saying we have unidentified aerial phenomenon. And that's pretty much what they'll always say, I think. But I don't know.
Well, they're not. Matter of they're saying that it's unidentified. It's the fact that they're saying that we are not doing this. And we doubt that any foreign technology is advanced enough to pull this off. So that leaves us with two plausible explanations.
Okay.
So I would just like to say the unidentified flying object means that it is unidentified, correct? So that would mean, I don't deny that the Pentagon doesn't know what these things are. You know, they are an unidentified flying object, but you were saying, you know, maybe and quite likely and probably a couple times. And you just kind of admitted that the Pentagon never said that it couldn't be some sort of earthly technology. It couldn't be from another country or society that may have some sort of technology that maybe we are unaware of. The whole term unidentified is
doubtful that it's foreign technology.
Right. So it's still possible though.
Right, but not plausible.
The term unidentified, so are you assuming that it would have to be either human technology or extraterrestrial technology? Is that what you're saying?
No, actually, like I'm saying that it's probably not human technology.
And how do you know that?
I don't know it. Like Dan and the rest of the ACA team introduced me to skepticism, so I keep my doubts up. So I make sure that if I'm trying to say something, that I make sure that I'm not speaking certainties. I take those caveats. Even if I think something's right, I'm going to take the caveats of I might be wrong.
Okay. So do we have any other examples of extraterrestrial technology at the moment to compare these unidentified flying objects to?
I wish I had a better camera. I wish I could afford to get a better camera because if it were like satellites, I don't think that two satellites moving in opposite directions would look like they're moving the same speed just because of the Earth's rotation. So if we've got two satellites that are intersecting with each other at almost the same speed, it leads me to believe that one of them isn't a satellite.
Yeah. So just going back to this, if you don't mind, unless Calvin, you had something else.
No, go ahead.
Like this particular event that's happened, I didn't really actually cover this on Truth Wanted. I think I planned to talk about it and then I never actually talked about it, but this was actually something that the U.S. Senate met on. No, I think I did mention it briefly. The first time this has happened in like 50 years, where they've actually just straight up were just like, hey, we need to talk about this, like what's going on here. And apparently enough people voted to make it happen. So basically these UAPs are reported, and there's over 100 of them, are all from the U.S. government. Part of it's from the Pentagon, part of it's talking about from like Navy intelligence and stuff like that, and they're all like pouring over this data, and they basically are saying, well, this isn't like, we don't know what this is. They're not necessarily saying it's extraterrestrial in origin, but we don't know what this is. The interesting thing is, like, the U.S. government is not the only government in the world that actually is looking out for UAPs. China has a commission where they are looking at UAPs. There's other countries that are looking at UAPs. Some of it are looking at some of the same data, if I'm not mistaken. So that's really interesting to say that there's major political powers at play that are also admitting that they don't know what it is. Does that necessarily lead to the conclusion that it's extraterrestrial in origin? Maybe, but I don't think that's even the confident explanation of U.S. intelligence. Now, before I go any further, let me be clear. I don't trust the U.S. government in telling me whether or not it's aliens or not. Okay? If they found out it was aliens, yeah, they're going to cover that shit up. I'm going to be
real. Oh, yeah, no, 100%. I don't think that, yeah.
100%. Are you fucking like, kidding me?
Like, do you have any idea how much the suicide rate would skyrocket if Christians found out that we weren't alone in the universe and that we've been visited? Like, Christians would be murking themselves off just out of the like cognitive dissonance.
There is that too.
Everything Ransom. They've been told being a lie.
I talk to other skeptics who are like, oh, well, if these major sources aren't confirming things, then it must not be. That's a BS way of thinking about things in general. Okay. Just not talking about aliens for a second. You can look at history books and talk about what the CIA has done in other countries, like overruling democratic regimes with people putting in their own political.
You can't talk about what the CIA does if you don't want to get demonetized.
Well, there's that, but I don't even care about that. I'm just saying, like, yeah, governments work in secret. I think that's the biggest pet peeve I have with when I talk to other skeptics about this, when they're like, oh, well, you should just say whatever government reports. No, that's not a good way to do it. There is outside councils that have determined a lot of the truths that we know about the CIA and other government bodies, not just in the US, but worldwide, that have acted in, you know, clandestine operations, stuff like that. Okay. Like, that's how we know. It's not because, oh, everything they do is a lie. That's not true either. But there's other more legitimate ways in which you find this information. The thing that's crazy about this is that this is coming from direct military intelligence from the U.S. And this is them being interviewed.
Yeah, these are people who are risking their careers to say this.
They have to. This is being recorded for the public, and so they're going to say what's going to be best for the public. They may not say everything that they actually know in what they interview. I don't know the full legal extent of how the Senate can get them to say what they need to say. I'm not an expert in that. What I do know is that everything that we currently know about how aliens would work would means it would have to be a technology that's beyond our understanding right now for them to just come and visit us and then just peace out. So I still, even after all that, would have to say that, yeah, it's probably government or government technology that we're looking at from human nations, probably not extra human in origin. That is still where I lean towards. But I guess I have to be open to the possibility of otherwise it being it, right? Even if it doesn't make much sense. But, you know, I still.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
I watched a movie.
Yeah. No, you can go ahead, Ranch.
A movie, and I don't want to talk about who did the movie because they're a criminal. I don't want anything to do with them personally, so I'm not going to promote them. But when I was watching this movie, I had a flashback, not of a memory, but of just a feeling. And the only thing that I could actually remember was the smell of dry metal.
Okay. All right.
So what does that mean?
This conversation took a turn. What does that mean, Ransom? What do we do with that information?
Either my head's making things up, either I watched the movie and I was like projecting, or I actually have some type of memory of being there. That's the two explanations. Either my head was making things up, or I actually have a memory of being there.
So what do you think?
Yeah, what do you think? That's good.
I honestly don't think that I could project a smell like that, because like smell is directly linked with memory, stronger than any other sense. And I don't think I would be able to make up a smell from something on a screen.
So you have you ever smelled metal before? Like, I know it's kind of a weird question, but I mean, have you ever smelled metal? Like, because metal does kind of have its own kind of scent, right?
I'm a loud smartass. I've been punched in the mouth more times than I can count. I know exactly what metal tastes and smells like.
Okay.
I don't doubt that.
That mean that you have that memory of the smell retained? And so yeah, it would be technically possible for you to subconsciously, you know, remember that?
But like, it was just the interaction. And when I started seeing like common themes with when I got the smell, it wasn't from like, it wasn't like from watching Fight Club and remembering the taste of blood in my mouth. This was me smelling like the air just smelled like dry metal. And that's the only memory that I have.
But that could mean anything. Yeah. That could mean anything. That doesn't have to do anything with UFOs.
Yeah.
That
and could... yeah. Cause Branson, this is kind of, this is an anecdotal type of experience. Yeah. You know, do you have anything?
I understand that completely.
Better?
Yeah. Well, why aliens? But like why it could just be, maybe you were on a ship, or maybe you were in a car, or maybe you were someplace else. Like, why does it have to relate to an alien?
The lack of humidity. Like, I could smell the dry. I don't know how to explain smelling the dry, but I could smell the dry.
So it was dry smelling, therefore aliens?
It was dry. It was metallic. It was, it's a smell that I don't remember ever smelling, but I can only sense it in that flashback. And I don't even know if it's a flashback. I can't confirm that it was a flashback, because like I said, my mind might have been just making stuff up. But the fact that I could smell something so specific that I was completely unfamiliar with before.
Yeah. Ranta, I'm sorry. I'm just having a hard time connecting the dots between this dream slash vision that you may have had and it equating to aliens. I'm just having a hard time making that connection.
Yeah, me too.
It would be a room where they needed to collect water, where somebody would need to collect water vapor from out of the air. That's like, that's my hypothesis. That's my idea. I'm not confirming anything. It's just that like what I felt and the smell that I remembered would be as though somebody was trying to pull all the water vapor out of the air.
Ransom, I know you said that you watched this show and I appreciate that, and you become a better skeptic. I'm sure you're familiar with the term Occam's razor. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah. The explanation that requires the least amount of assumptions is usually the right one.
Yes. Yes. And using Occam's razor here, right? Like the amount of assumptions that I'm hearing, it's like, well, I have the smell, and the only way that this could be made is if water vapor was taken out from this room, but we're talking about a memory that you don't actually. Well, I know, but we're talking about a memory that you don't even actually have, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're already just building assumption after assumption in order to even come close to this conclusion. Whereas your brain just probably got confused for a second while you were watching a movie, I think is like the one with the least amount of assumptions to be made there, right? Like I get like smells are like very much tied to memory. There's a lot of interesting, you know, conversations about that. And I do think that's a very weird experience. I'm not going to be the first one to say, well, I think this is what happened. But I also know that people just have weird experiences sometimes. And I don't know if it has to mean anything. I don't know. Like, I think if we're just saying this is the only thing and there was nothing else that happened to you, that's not enough for me to conclude that it's anything more than just a weird experience. I think you have to point to something else, you know?
Well, like if I have a dream that I, you know, was in an alien ship, does that mean that, you know, the alien ship was real? You know, if I had a dream that I was laying on a table and there were gray aliens wearing party hats standing around me, I mean, does that mean that it was real and that it was possible or plausible?
Can you smell in a dream?
Yeah.
Can you develop a completely new smell that you've never smelled before in a dream?
But you admitted that you've smelled metal before.
Right, but any metal that I've smelled always had some kind of humidity surrounding it. It was the combination of the metal smell and the like absolute zero humidity dryness of the air.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just a smell.
Yeah,
I don't know why that has to be aliens.
I don't know. I don't know if we're really going anywhere here.
I don't know, Ransom. I'm sorry. I feel like we failed you here, but like, you know, what else do you want us to say? Do you want us to confirm that, like, yeah, this is probably has to be the best explanation? Because like that wouldn't be honest. Like, I don't know.
No,
I don't
know. I'm expecting you to disagree with me. That's what the whole show is about. I'm expecting you to.
Yeah, well, we disagree. I mean, that's it, man.
Welcome.
I don't know, Ransom. This conversation went a different turn from when we first talked.
We do
have to get to some other callers. I do appreciate you calling in and talking to us, Ransom.
Yeah, thank you, Ransom.
And sharing it, because I did mention it earlier a few weeks ago, but we didn't really talk about it. Like, yeah, the U.S. Congress talking about the UAP stuff, like, that's not just, again, some blogger talking about one guy that claims to be an ex Area 51 person says this is real. No, this is happening in the Senate. Like, this was interviews from military intelligence officers and them talking about like these documented phenomenon. Like, that's a big deal. That's worthy of having a conversation about skepticism and talking about what does this actually mean. Again, I still lean that it's of human origins, but that's like, you know, that's only because I don't know how it could be aliens. Honestly, we don't even know how we could explain how it could be. It doesn't mean that aliens are off the table. It just means that just not the best explanation I can personally go to right now. But
I don't deny that UFOs are out there, or UAPs or whatever you want to call them. I don't deny that they're there and that there are photographs, you know, albeit blurry or whatever. I don't deny that those exist. But as soon as someone tries to claim that they're extraterrestrial, that's when I get a little confused and need to ask questions.
It's just, you know, there is a, and you know this, Calvin, as well, because this is a world you looked into, but there's this whole con world of people who claim to be ex-military, who claim to have these experiences, who claim to have these documents. That's all BS. But like, all of this is, the crazy thing is, all of this is legitimate insofar as it is from an official source and we can look at it publicly and everybody can see it. And that's where I think that conversation needs to go. But we're also talking about literally hundreds of videos and photos that I don't have the time to look into each and individual one and say, oh, well, this is this and this is that. Maybe there are some people out there that do that, but that's not me. I have to keep moving on. So until they confirm that, this is some fucking alien bullshit, I'm just going to think it's humans. I don't know.
Yeah, I've been there, done that. I don't want
to. Real quickly, I just want to remind folks about another way they can help the show. If you want to become a member and get cool little emoticons in the chat there, you can do that by hitting the join button. And doing that is just another way to help out the show. Thank you to everybody who is a member on the channel. You guys are really cool too. You can see that we updated those a few weeks ago now, maybe a month or two ago, with all the other show host faces, not just mine. So that is a cool way to support the channel. Thank you to everybody who does that. And man, I think we have time for at least one more call. We'll see if we can get another one in there. I don't know. Gosh, we have some different people who want to talk to us. Let's talk to VJ, who's calling in from New York. VJ, you're live on Truth One. What's up?
Hi. And sorry to be so completely off topic.
That's okay. This show is a series of non sequitur like phone calls, so that's totally fine. You're not going to be the first, and you won't be the last.
Yeah. So I'm an atheist, and I was calling in because a few weeks ago I caught a tail end of someone talking about so-called right-wing movements happening in India, and they brought up the word Hindutva. And I just briefly wanted to touch up and give you some context on it, and maybe give your viewers some new insight as to what's going on the other side of the world. Recently, Islamic conquest of India has been like, Islamic conquest of India has been happening since literally the beginning of Islam itself. So, you know, untold genocide, slavery, rape, that whole thing, because of their doctrine, which codifies that sort of behavior. as to how you treat a disbeliever. And so they took over a bunch of, you know, holy sites. So recently, the government has been trying to reclaim those sites. And so on a news like episode, like two people were, one of the spokesmen for the current party and some Muslim, like, you know, priests were talking. And so the guy started bad-mouthing, like, the Indian gods. And so she said, you know, didn't your prophet marry a child? Didn't he fly to the moon on a flying donkey? And, you know, isn't the earth flat? Now, she didn't actually insult or criticize him. Those are all, like, factual statements. And so that happened about maybe, I guess it's been a month. And so, like, tons of riots have been happening, burnings. And just a couple of days ago, two dudes went and stabbed the guy, a tailor, to death because he made a post saying, I support her right to freedom of speech. And so they made a video and uploaded saying, we're going to kill anybody who dares to, you know, speak ill of our prophet, and we'll defend his honor. And so, you know, the guy that called in a while ago, and it's not about him necessarily, but, you know, there's a misconception in the world as to what is Hindutva and what's happening in India. You know, we're asking as Indians, and I'm an Indian, we're asking for secularism. We're asking for, like, this sort of behavior to be stopped. And so at least in America, it seems, whatever news I see about, you know, outside of America, it just seems like it paints any sort of reaction against Islam or Christianity as to be somehow itself hateful or extremist. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I don't, like, why is anybody, like, in any other situation, the victims here would be portrayed as victims, you know, but if you read the news, like, it'll downplay the incident and say, like, oh, like, it'll completely remove the context as to what happened and just, you know, mitigate the blame to Islam or Islamic activities. So I just wanted to bring that to light. And,
So everything I'm going to say here is positing because I'm an armchair, again, white guy from the United States that just reads from home. But I do know a little bit of, so like a lot of Americans don't understand India. They think when they think of India, it's like, oh, it's a Hindu nation, right? Well, yes, but like India has a very complicated history with Islam. Like the Taj Mahal, one of the most famous landmarks of India, is the result of Muslim caliphates. Like India has been, has been at war, has had internal conflicts between Hindus and Muslims, like literally for as long as they've been in the region. And like the entire formations of countries like Bangladesh and Pakistan are because of these religious conflicts. Like it's literally why these countries exist, so that they could put these people separated by the religious infighting was so bad that they wanted to have their own kind of nation states. And that's why India was separated. Bangladesh was originally part of India. And anyway, so there's a lot of like geopolitical history there. But of course in India and many nations of the world, this isn't exclusive to India. Freedom of press has issues in regards to bias that you don't actually see in the United States. There's a lot of people that like criticize American journalism and how it works. It's actually a lot really awesome compared to a lot of other nations in the world when you see a lot of those biases at play. And that's not even countries with state-run media. Like I believe India does have some state-run media, but they do have like independent institutions, but are still heavily biased towards obviously even it's a big country.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a big country and it has, various local institutions and also some national ones, I believe. But again, this conflict is not the first time that this has happened between conflicts, specifically posts made on social media about Hindus or Muslims and then being violence of it. Like this has happened several times, not just in India, but also in Rwanda and also in other places where there like is Muslim majority populace and stuff, because there is kind of that conflict there, interfaith conflict. So there's a lot of history there, and it's bullshit. I think people should talk about it more. Unfortunately, there's not a lot I can do, again, as white guy talking from Austin, Texas, about, you know, stuff in world events.
I did have so this is my opinion. I'm freeballing, and please correct me, you know, or like share your criticism of it. I would personally be a fan or support a ban on religion based upon religion, or political ideology. It doesn't have to be religion. I don't know what the laws are in America, but I presume that if you're a Nazi and say you want to immigrate, we would probably find cause to deny you. And
I don't know. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
I don't know either. I would hope so.
But
that's what I want to ask.
Like, listen, yeah. We have a lot of Nazis in this country. Okay. Like America's cool with Nazis now than ever, which is like really bad. But right. India is unique in that there is a constitution, I believe. They do have it's a secular it's based off of a Western government, but they don't have some of the same protections that we do.
It's not secular.
So
in India, they have Sharia law, believe it or not. And so this is the thing that really grates my gears is that if you're a Muslim, the minimum age law does not apply. So you can marry children. You can have four wives. Property taxes, like inheritance laws, is based on Sharia, which is a woman gets, you know, half, a mom gets an eighth, et cetera, et cetera. And I think people say it's India secular. So like if you're a Muslim, you don't have your mosques. And if you're a Christian, your churches, no taxes. But if you're an Indian, the temples, all of the temple wealth is controlled by the state. So the current regime is trying to undo some of these unfair laws. And so they're branded as right wing, quote unquote, which they're really not. They're more like center left, actually, because their economic policies are kind of liberal, but not really. They have their four social welfare schemes and all of that. But they're also trying to privatize a little bit, you know, because India is very socialist in all of those places. Yeah. But anyway, beyond that, governing the political issue, they're trying to equalize it. They're trying to bring uniform civil code. And for this, they're branded as being extremist. I've seen the phrase Hindutva extremist thrown around. And it boggles my mind because, you know, you can go and like insult whatever Indian gods, you can criticize them freely. Nobody's going to kill you. Try doing that with Muhammad.
Sounds like you got a phone call there. I get you, Vijay. It's not fair. It's not fair. Important note to clarify, when you say India has Sharia law, it is local to particular states. It's not countrywide. When I was talking about it being like when it's the government in India, as far as I'm aware, is set up to where they do have a multi-party system and stuff. And so like there are different parties that will have stronger, maybe advocate for more religious groups than others. But, you know, I've seen tons of stories from India from people being like, oh, well, this Indian, you know, education minister or whatever thinks that, you know, the ancient Brahmin were the first to discover nuclear physics. You know, like I'll see that kind of stuff come up. And then, of course, there's like the sectarian violence that happens, of course, between when Hindus and Muslims come into these conflicts. Again, in particular regions, it's not like all over the place, but I mean, it does happen.
It happens all over the country.
Well, I mean, and more so in particular parts than others, right? Like I don't want to be generalizing here and say all parts of India are the same, but it's like, you know, again, it's very complicated geopolitics of a country that I don't actually live in. So I can only comment on it so much, but let me say this, Vijay, because we got to kind of wrap up the show here. I feel for you, and it's not fair. It's bullshit. You should be able to criticize whatever religious figures you want, whether they be Hindu in origin, whether they be Muslim in origin. And it sucks that governments worldwide don't recognize this. Again, atheists in the United States are kind of looked down upon. It's kind of a joke, or have been, and in parts of Europe as well, because they say, why do we need this? You know, we're secular states, you know, people don't really care this much. And then we have the fucking abortion ban that just happened, right? And it's like, this is why we talk about this stuff, because the intersection of religion and politics, that's a one-to-one relationship there. We pretend like it's different. We pretend like these institutions don't affect each other, but they do. And obviously it's happening in India. Obviously it's happening all over the world. And it's certainly happening here. So it's important to talk about and criticize these things. Again, not criticizing just for criticism's sake, although I agree you have the right to do that too, but also to point out that, like, hey, you should be able to point out and say we shouldn't have these laws that should affect particular religious minorities. when they don't have to, or particular religious teaching should be where everyone should follow, like it is with Sharia law. So yeah, it's all bullshit. But Vijay, I'm really sorry. We got to wrap up this show, so I am gonna let you go.
No worries.
Thanks for calling in on that. It's a interesting issue to talk about. And Calvin, yeah, thanks, Vijay. I want to hear your thoughts on that too, if you had any.
Yeah, not a whole lot. I mean, I second pretty much everything that you said. I don't have a whole lot of thoughts on a country that I don't really live in or sure. You know, have much influence with. But yeah, I mean, I do agree that you should have, you know, the right to, you know, vote for your own government and, you know, yeah. not be forced into this ideology type of thing and be killed for not believing in it.
Yeah.
Now, whether I believe in what you mentioned, banning religion, I don't
not sure where he was going with that.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily know what that would even entail. Like, do you mean banning like just thinking about a god? I don't really know what that even means. But I don't know if I would go as far as to try to ban anyone's thoughts or beliefs. I think that's kind of taking extremism to the other spectrum.
Yeah, and then that gets difficult, right? Because then it goes back to, well, what about like Nazis?
Yeah,
you know exactly. What I mean? It's right. Like, well, how do you regulate this? This is the problems of our times, people. Ideologies and the regulation thereof. Like that is like what I believe to be a critical issue in the 21st century, especially in the age of the internet when everybody's getting ideas all over the place. How do we do that? How do we fix that? I don't know. I just talk about it.
There you go.
You know, it is what it is. But hey, yeah, the atheist community of Austin, obviously we are based in Austin, Texas, but we want to hear everybody from around the world and talk about their perspectives and opinions. And I'm glad I get to talk to people, obviously Vijay living here in the United States, but like we hear calls from countries all over the place, and hearing all of you guys' stories and how it's like to live in these places is always fascinating to me. And it also reminds me that, hey, we're not alone in thinking this.
Yeah.
And we're not the only people that are being discriminated against as well when it comes to being an atheist and what that means in the political sphere. So we got to kind of get to the end of the show here. And Calvin, I just want to give a very special thank you for being on the show. And please tell us, where can people find you at?
Awesome. Well, I should be thanking you for having me on, because I had such a good time. I talked to so many great people today. But yeah, you can find me pretty much any social media platform. I've been really using TikTok lately. I'm starting to grow my TikTok followers with, you know, content similar to this, you know, what you believe, why you believe it type of content. You can find me on TikTok, Unquestionable Calvin. You can find my podcast, Unquestionable with Calvin Smith, on all streaming platforms and on YouTube. Go ahead and give it a subscribe and a like. And I talk to a lot of great people. If you've got a belief that is deeply held and you want to talk about it, my email is all linked up everywhere, and you're welcome to shoot me an email. Maybe, you know, come on my show and talk about what you believe and why you believe it. And yeah, besides that, I'm literally everywhere if you look for Unquestionable with Calvin Smith.
Cool. Well, there you go, folks. You can definitely check that stuff out if you're interested. I think I want to look up the Quantum Bigfoot episode, but I don't know. I don't know what that's going to do for me. You know, I don't know. But
well, it's going to convince you of Bigfoot is what it's going
to
do.
I think, you know, like Bigfoot, according to one caller, I have to be 50-50 on Bigfoot. So
you have to be.
Being him being a time traveler, that's another thing I have to be 50-50 on. I don't know.
You have to be.
Just kidding for that other caller. No, I actually think that's what you're saying. But
love your ransom.
Regardless, you know, other ways that you can help support this show. Well, there's a donate button on the page there that you can look at. All that money goes directly to the Atheist Community of Austin. YouTube does not get a cut of that. So if you would like to make a donation to the nonprofit organization that makes this show happen, that's one good way to do it. I also want to remind folks that this show, along with all of our other shows, can be found in audio format if you go to the AEN Podcasts Network. That's tiny.cc/AEN podcast. You'll go to a channel that has all of our other shows and programs in audio form. And of course, you can find this show on Spotify or iTunes or I always say iTunes, but it's just Apple Music now. But I've been saying iTunes for like too long. And now I just say iTunes every time.
I still say iTunes.
That's kind of my boomer moment, you know? But anyway, that's a thing. If you want to contact the show, you can do that. It's truth@atheist-community.org. I like seeing all the emails that come in. And when you write to me or to any of the other hosts, you can write in through that address. And lastly, I have to thank the wonderful, wonderful people that help make this show happen every single week. That is the crew. And we're going to go to the crew cam here in just a second. There's the crew.
Look at them.
Look at those people. Beautiful. They're so happy to be here. Look at them. All their big, giant smiles. I only say that because they're kind of frowning there. They're kind of like, Dan should just wrap this up already. Great. I could tell. Sorry, guys. I'm getting to the end of the show here. But everybody still wants to, you know, listen to me. So here we are. So anyway, this has been another great episode of Truth Wanted. Calvin,
yes.
Before we go, you know, what's your words of wisdom for today? Do you have any words of wisdom?
Practice healthy skepticism. Don't believe anything until you have sufficient evidence to warrant the belief.
Ooh.
That's really all I got to say.
I like that. Thanks for the words of wisdom, Calvin. And thank you to everybody who watches Truth Wanted. Remember to always keep wanting the truth. And I'll see you next time.
Watch The Nonprofits and join the hosts in the live chat, Sundays at 3 p.m. Central, between The Atheist Experience and Talk Hidden. Visit tiny.cc/ytnp.